Hello, St. Paul, and happy 4th of July. Today is Independence Day, and it's a day that we are given the opportunity to remember and be thankful for those women and men who have paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Freedom is a powerful theme with great significance in the Bible. A word study alone will not reveal the full extent of the imagery of captivity and freedom. It underlies some of the greatest biblical themes, including sin and redemption, flesh and spirit, death and life, and law and truth. It's a theme that is woven throughout the Old and New Testaments, and it's an image that we must never forget. When the Lord addressed Israel in the Old Testament, many times he identified himself as the Lord, as the one who delivered them from captivity of slavery in Egypt. And when the early church gathered on the first day of the week, they were reminded of the resurrection and Jesus' triumphant defeat over the captivity of death. How appropriate for July 4th to be on Sunday this year. This is a big day. The last time July 4th fell on Sunday was 2010, and it won't happen again for another 11 years. Today, we remember those men and women who gave their lives for us to be free, and we remember the completed work of Christ on the cross and his resurrection for us to be free from sin. In our worship together this morning, we will all celebrate Holy Communion together, and we want you to join us. So go ahead and set some bread and juice aside for that moment in our service. We're honored once again to have the Reverend Buddy Cooper preaching today. His sermon is entitled, Memorable Moments, The Hiding Place of Jesus. And his text is from John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 35 through 39. So with your notebook and your Bible in hand, your bread and juice nearby, and a heart leaning into the freedom offered to us through Christ, let us join our worship service this morning live in our beautiful sanctuary.
Pieces of paper. Be sure that you register your attendance, whether you've been with us for years, whether today is your first time here at St. Paul. Please register your attendance, and we would love to hear from you. These are all of our announcements this morning.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able and join us in the singing of our hymn of celebration, America. It's number 697. Remain standing as we unite in this historic confession of the Christian Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his Son, our only Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you so much for the gift of a new day. And Lord, what an honor it is that we get to celebrate the 4th of July on your holy day. Lord, I ask that we be mindful as we celebrate today, Lord. And Father, as I reflect on Independence Day and what it represents and what it means, I reflect on Jesus, and I thank you for what you have done through him and in him. But Lord, it's great victory that we no longer have to be slaves to sin. Lord, that we can be free. So Lord, I thank you for that gift. Lord, that we can be independent from sin through Jesus, that in him we are a new creation, and in him we can do all things. And Lord, as we think about this and reflect on this, Lord, let us be reminded that it is our goal as the church, as your people, as your family, to spread this good news, that we can be free and no longer slaves of sin to those around us, Lord. So let that be our mission. Let that be our mindset. Let that be something that we reflect and think about today. And Lord, as we go out into the world today, let us be reminded of the prayer that you once taught your disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Please stand for the scripture reading for today. Our scripture lesson comes from the book of John, chapter 12. Jesus said to them, "The light is with you for a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness may not overtake you. If you walk in the darkness, you do not know where you are going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of light." After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. Although he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" You may be seated.
Thank you. Thank you, men, Sue and Wayne. Thank you so much for that. It is the 4th of July, and the passage read to you from John contains a line that oftentimes doesn't get preached. In the 36th verse, Jesus says, "While you have a light, believe a light, that you might become children of light." This came at the end of Jesus' beginning Holy Week. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. He had entered Jerusalem on the colt. He had brought himself to this place. They were seeking to destroy him. They were seeking to silence him. And then you've had this word. After Jesus had said this, he departed and hid from them. After he said this, Jesus departed and hid from them. You don't think about Jesus hiding too much, do you? But he did. God said in the Old Testament, "There'll come a time when you seek me and I will not be found." Jesus was hidden. Some definitions of hide is out of sight, but having you in view. You can hide and still have a sight. You can hide, they can't see you, but you still have a view. John Riley, who's a friend from Alabama, tells about his first hunt. He tells about going out with his father and grandfather many times to the property to hunt down toward the creek. And he had come to be about 10 or 11 years old, and he had his 410, and his dad said, "Today I'm going to let you go by yourself." So he took him down to the edge of the wooded area, and he said to him, said, "Where's the sun?" And the sun was kind of behind him. He said, "Okay, son." He said, "When you get ready to come out, turn and face the sun and come out. You'll be come out pretty close to where we are." So he goes in. He's excited. He's thrilled. His heart's beating 90 to a minute. He's hunting. He's looking for anything he can shoot up in the trees. And he hunts and he hunts and he hunts. And then he gets tired after a couple hours and he decides it's time to come back out. And he looks up and it's cloudy. And he said, "Oh, well, I've been here before. I know there's a branch down here. I'll go find the branch. I'll follow it back out. I can get out of here." So he finds the branch. He starts following it back out. And it doesn't look as familiar as he thought it did. So he turns and goes back this way and another way. And John Riley said, "And then finally I came to a place where I had crossed the branch before because there were my footprints. I had made a circle." He said, "I remember thinking, I looked up, the clouds were worse, it was fixing to rain." And he said, "I remember thinking, why has this happened to me?" He said, "I'll never be allowed to go hunting again by myself." He said, I just can't stand it." And he didn't say any of that out loud. He's just sitting there frustrated, holding his gun, and his daddy stepped out from behind a tree. He said, "What's the matter with you, boy? You think I'm going to let you go hunting by yourself alone the first time?" Oh, he let him go by himself, and he let him think he was alone, but he wasn't alone. His daddy was monitoring him the whole way. That's hidden. Jesus, he said, "I've done it. If you won't have the light and be the light and follow the light, I'm going over here somewhere else." And he departed and he hid from them. Now, another definition of hid is though to not be here, but available when I'm needed. He had a hidden strength. He or she had a hidden strength. Man told the story of being chased by a bear. He said, "I'm running hard as I can. That bear's fast." He said, "I come out into a clearing." He said, "There's only one tree there, and it looks like the lowest limb's about 12 feet up." He said, "I ran hard as I could, and I jumped for that limb." His friend said, "Did you catch it?" He said, "On the way down." Hidden strength, strength you didn't know you had. Jesus said, "I'm not here. I'm departed. I'm hidden. But when you need me, when you seek me with your whole heart, I'll be there." But for people who are just triflingly employed, who are just messing around, I'm hidden. Jesus was praying for the disciples on the hill. He was overlooking the Sea of Galilee. They're in a boat, and they're trying to go across the other side where he sent them. And he sees the storm, and he sees the winds against them, and they're out there flailing around. And so he stops praying. He goes back down this, don't think of mountain. Not, it wasn't even big as Stone Mountain. I mean, Stone Mountain, much less Pine Mountain. But he goes back down this little hill of Galilee to the Sea of Galilee, and he walks out across the water to them. That should have been the first clue that help was coming, okay? He walked across the water. And they say, it's the Lord. And he gets in the boat and he says, peace be still. Now later, in another episode in his life, he's asleep in the boat. And they're trying to cross this same neck of land, neck of water where the land comes together and the wind always blows storms through. He's asleep. And they go in there and wake him up and say, don't you care if we perish? He walks out again. He says, peace be still. And they did say the second time, they said to each other, who is this who even the storm obeys? This is Jesus. This is Jesus, the one who did everything he could do, everything he could possibly humanly do, and finally said, I've given you the light. You have the light with you. Walk in it. And then he departed. Verse 37 says, they did not believe in him. It'd be hard not to believe in somebody who had just raised a man from the dead that everybody knew. It'd be hard not to believe in somebody who rode in on a colt, little bitty animal, and the whole world followed him into Jerusalem, celebrating him as Hosanna, the king. But they did not believe in him. They did not believe in him, had no belief in him. And Jesus is saying, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm going to depart, and I'm going to hide. There were actually people in America who said it's been good that the church couldn't meet for a year and a half. Because if she wasn't meeting, she's not getting in our business. How short-sighted, how foolish. Jesus said, I will not make you do anything. And when I think you've told me for the times enough that you want your own way, I will depart and go hide and watch from afar and see how it goes with you just by yourself. Who has believed us? That's what the disciples said in that 38. They said, Lord, we've been with you for 3 years. Who has believed us? We've told this stuff to people. Who has believed us? And Jesus said, first they wouldn't believe, then they couldn't. And you know, the edge of the gospel is that there is a line drawn through every life. You can't judge mine. I certainly can't judge yours. But there's a line drawn through every life that God knows where it's at. And if I cross it, I'm not coming back. It has nothing to do with how much he loves me, how much he hopes for me, how much he wants me. It has everything to do with my free will, my stubbornness, my own insanity. But he's drawn a line. And he says, if you won't believe in me, if you won't believe, there'll come a time when you can't believe. Not because I've given up on you, but because you've crossed a line. And Jesus was saying, this group in leadership had crossed a line. We know the secret. We know the good news. Jesus might be hidden. He might be letting a nation or a world get a full head of steam using the images of a horse, get the bit in its teeth and run as far as it wants to go in the wrong direction. But he's not giving up. The good news is he didn't stop when he went into hiding. He hid to be revealed on Easter Sunday. He hid from them because there was nothing they could do to help him do what he had to do. He departed from them because words wouldn't do what needed to do, and he hid from them because he had to prepare his own soul to sacrifice himself, to offer himself for us. The disciples continued to follow him, but they didn't understand either. They said, it's simple. No, it's not simple. He said, stand here. Stay here and pray for me. My soul is vexed. That's the word he used. My soul is torn. it's vexed. Pray for me. He comes back after praying a while. They're asleep. He says, wake up. Pray for yourself. He said, Peter, Satan's asked to sift you like wheat. You need to pray. But he comes back the third time, and they're asleep. And he says, sleep on. Sleep on. I'm going to depart. I'm going to hide. Judas said, I know where he's at. I'll take you to him. Take you right to him. He goes there every time in this area. And Judas brought him right to him. Hidden has an opposite word. And we think it's found. If something's hidden, then I can find it. That's not the opposite word. That's the opposite word for us. If something's hidden and I find it, then I found it. But for God, the opposite word for hidden is revealed. If God has hidden it, I can hunt for it till the cows come home. Until he reveals it, it will not be found. What is hidden has to be revealed. And in my search, I will find it. Scripture says when you seek God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, you'll find him. Jesus said if you want to feel the peace of God in your life, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And if you don't love yourself, then don't exempt yourself from the second category. Just realize you need to love one another as I have loved you, which took it to another level. Life's not a game of hide and seek. Jesus didn't hide hoping they'd find him. He knew they weren't even looking for him. Jesus hid to watch and observe for the right moment to reveal himself in a saving and gracious way. He's hidden from those who think life is a game, but a confession calls us to join him and to give ourselves to him. The light is so simple sometimes we can't see it. There's a story you learned in high school, maybe even elementary school, but it's this ancient story of the lady or the tiger. And it's about the dilemma that's given to this man. There's two doors. He has to open one of them. One of them has a ravenous tiger behind it. If he opens it, he's going to be killed. The other one has a lady behind it. If he opens it, he'll be safe. And the one leading the temptation to him says to him, choose the right door. And he started thinking all kind of complex moral things about how is it, this is a chess game. They're trying to fool me, how to get the right door and everything. And a child knows that. If somebody you trust says, choose the right door, which one is it? It's the one on the right. And that was where the lady was. We try to make Jesus' words so complicated and so convoluted that we can't understand them. He said, choose to be in the light. You have the light with you. Choose the light. Become children of light. And when he said this, their faces clouded up, and he realized they didn't even understand that. They were trying to figure out what kind of light we're going to be. And he departed from them, and he hid. In a few moments, some simple words are going to be said. Don't stumble over them. Don't make them something they're not. Jesus said, if you by faith come to this moment of Holy Communion, then that in your hand which is bread and juice is my body and blood. And as you partake of it, you partake of me. You become a part of me in a visceral way. You partake of the juice and the bread. In the Methodist tradition, we don't think that some magic happens and it becomes flesh and blood. There are traditions that believe that. We're not one of them. But we do know to the eyes of faith, when people say, where is Jesus? He's hidden. Well, when did he hide? When did he leave? We didn't even know he left. What do you mean he departed and he's hidden? Where is he? Where's the safe door? Is it the right or the left? Choose the right door. Here's the right door. All you who choose to be at peace and love with one another, come to this place. Take in your hands that which has been given to you, and which by the mystery of God shall be blessed in this service, and shall be for you the body and blood of Christ. So when the world says, where is Jesus? You can answer, he is here. Where two or three of you gather, you can answer, he is here. When you see in the eyes of the needy the desperate need, you can say to them, Jesus is here. And when you fear for your own soul, you can know he is at the right hand of God, claiming you and claiming me. For people who play life as a game of hide and seek, they just say, well, I hope he's not looking, hope he's not present, maybe he's departed, maybe he's gone, maybe he'll come back on another day when it's a better day. Jesus had come to a point of frustration. One of the things that we read about, the two towers of frustration in this gospel story of the Passion. One is this one, where Jesus said as plain as he could, you have the light with you, walk in it, be children of light. And they didn't. And so he departed and hid. The other is the 26th chapter of Matthew, the 26th verse, where Matthew in his honesty writes down, they all forsook him and fled. There wasn't no bunch of disciples standing around the cross saying, we sure are sad about Jesus. They were gone. Today, where is Jesus hiding? With holy reverence, he's hiding under that white cloth. When Laura and I remove it, you'll see him. He's hiding in the cup and wafer you have in your hand. When you open it, you'll see him. Not because you found him, but because he, in his infinite love for you, has chosen to reveal himself to you and to me. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we prepare to go into this service of Holy Communion, the question is not, where are you? The question is, Lord, why do you love me so that you would be here for me? In Jesus' name, amen. Would you take your hymnal and turn to page 12? Hear these very familiar words again for the first time. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we've not loved you with our whole heart. We failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Would you prepare for Holy Communion as Laura and I prepare the elements? The body of Christ broken for us.
Would you pour all the cup, all the cup?
The blood of Christ shed for us. Would you now partake of the body and blood of Christ? He is no longer hidden. He is revealed in each of us. Would you stand as we sing of his glory, God of the ages? Would you stand?
Thank you.
that no one rules over America except thee. All others are pretenders. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all.
Enjoy that.
Thank you. God bless you.